the day we're in is unlike any other day. And Peter said, we who are kept by the power of God unto a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. So the apostolic ministrations knew there was a salvation yet to come, a greater power. And Paul says in Philippians, I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call. And then he says, I haven't yet attained. So you think of where they walked in and great signs and wonders, which weren't the focus, but they were signs and wonders to confirm the word. We have a showboat ministry in the earth that thinks signs and wonders are to confirm them. But the real purpose of God moving through a humble and broken people is that his signs confirm his word. And that's all we're interested in. And so God's raising up a people that are broken, contrite, and know that anything God does through them is grace. That they just know, you know, I did this and that, and therefore God has, you know, really blessed me with something. So we're going throughout the history of God with his people. He takes them through phases and dispensations, but we're in the last dispensation. We are in the day of the Lord. And so the church as a whole, we have a gospel that has gone out. It's the gospel of salvation. Tremendous, wonderful. But Jesus didn't preach the gospel of salvation. You'll find that in the Gospels. He preached the kingdom of God. Whole different game. So I'm just going to read some scriptures here. And this first scripture can take all the breath out of you. But we have to be reminded that these things are based on God's power, not our own. But he's moving us into the full salvation. And it says in the day that the seventh trumpet sounds, the mystery of God will be completed. What is that mystery? Christ in you. So the seventh trumpet cannot sound. The seventh angel can't sound it until the mystery of God has been complete. And he's moving ever forward through the dispensations of his power. And it says in Genesis, right at the beginning, let us, that plural, that full Trinity at work. It takes the full combined Godhead to create and produce and bring forth a people. Let us make man in our image. So God has been through all the dispensations. He hasn't swerved. He hasn't gone, oh, well, it's good as it's going to get with these characters. Himself, Jesus gave the parable, which one of you is going to build a tower and you don't sit down first to figure out what it's going to cost you? So from the beginning, let us make man in our image. God considered what it's going to cost him. And it says Jesus is the lamb slain from where? the foundation of the world. So God's purposes in sending his son was that was the cost that's necessary to finish his work in us. I mean, it's magnificent. And so, the Lord, I mean, this scripture has always bothered me pretty well my whole Christian life, but God's made it real to me. And I had a big failure yesterday. I lost my temper. So I'm sharing this from my own need of his work in me. But anyway, it's Galatians 5:19 through 21. And we've got to begin to consider the difference between salvation and the kingdom of God. They're two separate entities, two different spheres of God's purposes. So I'll preface one other thing here. In the book of Revelation, there's seven letters written to the seven churches. And to every church location, because of their culture and because of their the aspect of them missing God in their midst, there's a promise given to every one of them, multiple promises, magnificent promises given to every one of those locations. But the word is to him that overcometh. Just because the promise is given to each of us of all these magnificent things in God, the promises only come to pass in those who overcome. So we see the difference between his church and salvation and those who by faith have allowed the power of God to invade their beings and begin to bring forth in us his likeness. So Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry, sorcery, drugs, enmities, fightings. These are all things we know that are at work in his church. In his church, we see it. And jealousies, angers, rivalries, divisions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and things like these, of which I've told you before, as I also said before, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is God testifying to us of a gospel that is able to extricate us from every aspect of these things. Salvation is one. This is Paul setting forth the nature of the kingdom and in whom, you know, we got to stop and think what the kingdom means. The kingdom of God is where God rules and reigns. It's where he has taken ownership of our lives. And you first read that and part of you just goes, well, I'm out. You know. But Jesus in Mark 10 and also in Matthew and Luke, Jesus said some things and the disciples responded to him and they said they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? I mean, you read Galatians 5:19 through 21, your first response, oh, well, wow. But Jesus looks at them and he says, with man it is impossible. So we don't allow unbelief and our own assumption of our own strength to rob us of the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. See, we got to allow his faith to take us beyond our own strength, our own abilities. This is his salvation. You know, it says in Matthew, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We have a gospel today that says he will save us in our sins. He's come to extricate us through the power of his Holy Spirit to bring us into a dimension of life that the early church was in pursuit of. Galatians 5 is a chapter, spend time in it. It goes on in Galatians 5. I mean, we got to allow the immensity of God's word to what he's called us to. We've got to allow it to strike us. But in Galatians 5:24, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. See, there's a place of ownership that the Holy Spirit is bringing us into. It's a place, Paul says, I bear in my body the brands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why does a guy brand his cattle? Ownership. Paul said, I'm bearing all the marks of persecution. The deeper his word affects you, the more it will free you from ourselves. It says, they shall know the truth and be able to quote it. No, they shall know the truth, and the truth makes us free. Truth is a power, not an intellectual commodity. And so every ounce of failure we have known is God's way of bringing us into dependency. So Romans 8, you know, the whole Romans 7 chapter, the I, that which I would do, I don't. That which I don't want to do, I do. That which I would like to do, I don't. And it culminates in Romans 8, and it says, there is therefore, and the big powerful word there is now. There is therefore now no condemnation. So we are a people that we are constantly moving forward, not in condemnation. We move forward in conviction. Whew, yeah, we want that. And so, but we've got to begin to comprehend this is the day of the kingdom. All that the apostolic fathers were looking for was this day. Paul was pursuing a sinless life. I can show you that in Philippians. And he says in Philippians, at the end of Philippians 3, he said, if there's anybody that's minded other than this, God will show this to him. If you're open to the Spirit, God's not interested in Brian compromising with any issues in his life. So Romans 8 says, if ye through the, listen to the power of this thing, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. It's not mortifying the deeds of the flesh by your own flesh. It's mortifying the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. And God says, as you do this, you will step into my life. Life is it just takes on an immensity. He has offered us a salvation that is, you know, like it says in Corinthians 13, love thinketh no evil. Well, wow. So love is the dynamic that frees me from every evil thought. When the God of love is dwelling in my heart, I am incapable of an evil thought. That's, you know, you tell someone you believe in Christian perfection, oh, brother. But then you say, hey, love thinketh, oh, yeah, well, you know. But it's semantics. The power of his dominion. When we talk the kingdom of God, we're talking about lives that are ruled by the power of God, subduing, what does it say? He is able to subdue all things. He is able. I can't subdue a thing. But that's not the gospel isn't what I can subdue. The gospel is about my submission to the one who can subdue all things. That's why it's called the good news. So this whole outlay of the gospel on one of my favorite scriptures I have to quote to myself all the time is it's out of Zechariah 4. Zerubbabel has been charged by God to raise the temple up. Zerubbabel, in its original Hebrew meaning, means born in Babylon. Have you been born in Babylon? Is God raising a temple in you? What is God's word to Zerubbabel? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain, what is your mountain's different than mine. But your mountain will be removed, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God moving in you. And so we're entering into the last day, and there is a people out of the chaos of what we call the church today. He's bringing forth the people that are unified. Their interaction, like was mentioned today, is through relationship. And the vested power of God in us has to begin to flow through us. So let's look at, someone want to read Ephesians 4:16. This is the secret to his church. This is the secret of this body being raised up in the power of God.
Ephesians 4:16?
Yeah.
From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
So what's the secret there? There's powerful words in the scriptures. If is a huge word. When is a word when you're reading the scriptures, whenever you see when, it means something's changed. Something is now transpiring. It's a fulcrum point. So when does the body start edifying itself in love? When does the body start raising up? When, read that again. When?
Each part is working properly.
There it is. So it doesn't matter how dynamic one person is. It doesn't matter, you know, the whole pastor model can't do it. Because this body can't raise up until each member is functioning. This is God goes, this is how I do it. And my body will not raise itself until every member is moving within the giftings and the power of the Holy Spirit, communicating to one another. This isn't about one man. This is beyond our comprehension. And the corporate has to swallow up everything. It brings us to the place of members, one of another. You know, the pancreas, if it stops working, the whole body's got a problem. See, right now, the body is some sort of an ethereal concept. But as we begin to step into our call, our expression, and we begin to allow the Spirit of God to move in us, He will then begin to move through us. The outward reality is the revelation of the inward reality. And so when Jesus said to His disciples, He said, when you pray, pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So there's no copies, there's no... I traveled with an evangelist when I was a year and a half old, and I started wearing shirts like him, and he sort of, he was very gregarious and very, dynamic. But God has to destroy that. Because this many-membered body will not arise. And you will not be cognizant of it if you're not a functioning member of it. There's lots of Christians that have no idea of what the body is. It's just some sort of a thing. Well, we got our church. Well, I mean, that was a word that hit me the other day. Paul didn't have a church. Who do we think we are? Paul didn't, all these apostolic and prophetic and evangelistic and teaching and shepherds, they didn't have a church. They were servants of God in the church. It's a whole different dynamic. So anyway, we are pressing towards something, and God is raising up a people. He's seeking to raise up a people. So His promises go to all the seven churches. But only the overcomers come to the place where the word is fulfilled. And so we read in Revelation, I'm trying to hurry here, Revelation chapter 14, 6 and 7. And I saw another angel, angelos means minister, servant, messenger, actually. And I saw another angel, messenger, flying in mid-heaven. I won't expound on that today, but having an everlasting gospel to proclaim. God's raising up a people that are so under His authority. They're not preaching a gospel of salvation. They're preaching a gospel of the kingdom. And it's a gospel. You'll see that phrase. It's in the gospels. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you read His parables. His parables are far heavier than any of us can fully comprehend. There's always division. The kingdom of God is like a net cast into the sea. That's salvation. A whole whack of fish are drawn into the net of God. And what happens? There's separation. And so as we read the Gospels, we begin to grasp the significance of from a people who coast and from a people who comprehend. Like Galatians 5:19 to me is God's indictment on me. It's God's call on me. And I am not condemned by it. I'm encouraged by it. That's His promise to me. And so, woo, that's good stuff. To come to a place where you're no longer tormented with thoughts, you're to come to a place of a peace that cannot be disturbed in the midst of everything going on around. I ain't there yet. Like Paul says, I haven't yet apprehended that. But what is Paul's response? He's not condemned. He isn't going, that's all I do is... No, he says, what do? I press toward the mark. Why? Because the mark is there for us. The mark is wrapped up in the promises and the power of God, not in my ability, but in his ability. And so, I'll stop there. But we've got to comprehend the magnitude of his call is always coupled together with the magnitude of his power. So that we never get discouraged. We don't, every failure is just another step in the road of me going, Brian, you got to stop depending on yourself. Failure is because I'm trying to do it. And it says as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Well, the Greek there literally means as many as are born along. So you picture the ark on the raging flood. Noah's in the ark and he's being born along, carried along. And so his own obedience became the vessel of his own deliverance. Your obedience is God's answer to your mountain. It doesn't get any better than that. This is good news. And so the power, we don't rely on ourselves. But if we don't have a vision of what he's after, we'll settle for something far less. So I want to leave that verse with you. Philippians. Philippians 3.
Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own.
Yes, Lord.
Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you.
There. Right there. So Paul's saying to the church, if this isn't part of your mindset, as many as are mature think this way. They're pursuing something. There is a pursuit born by the Holy Spirit that through every failure, through every circumstance, there is an indomitable press of the Spirit of God by faith in you to continue to pursue the dominion of God in our lives.